Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, gotten into a discussion of the power of protection last time. We're continuing that this week, the way that a living trust can protect you and your assets, your family. And you're looking more at the trust tool as opposed to the will, but you wanted to kind of review some of the stuff you did last week about the revocable versus the irrevocable trust.
Yeah, it's a big question, and I want to start our time together with 2 Samuel 22, because in this scripture has been our foundation of why are we talking about protections. So 2 Samuel 22, verse 3 says, "My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies." And, you know, this scripture really talks about our God being a protector and a keeper and a shield, a strong tower around us. And so why are we talking about protection? Because as a follower of Christ, as someone who is called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, then I want to strive to be more like my God. And what does that mean? That means I want to emulate his characteristics. And one of his characteristics is this: he is our defender. He is our protector. And so when we look at that, then it is my call to action to say, then our lives need to therefore show that we are also protectors. And we can start with doing that at home. We want to protect our family. I have two daughters. They're 24 and 25. And there is nothing that I would not do to protect my girls. They call me constantly, get advice. They want my help in ways. And as a father, I respond to them in a heartbeat. Well, that's our God. Our God responds to us in a heartbeat. He is ever present, ever available for us. And so I want my life to reflect that towards my family, towards my loved ones. And that also means that then my estate plan needs to reflect what does it mean to be protective instead of simply going along with what society has said or anything else. No, I want to be reflecting the goodness, the kindness, and the protection of my God. And so we started this entire discussion about protection with this foundation that we are to reflect our loving God. And we talked last week a little bit about a revocable trust and an irrevocable trust. So as a brief review, a revocable trust is what we commonly use for estate planning. But when someone dies, then it becomes irrevocable. An irrevocable trust has some great qualities of protection. So during your lifetime, because you use a revocable trust, meaning you can change it, you can adjust it. As an attorney, I can go back into client's trust and make a fine-tuned adjustments to the law or to taxes. So in other words, it's fully under the control of a creator, the one who creates the trust. Therefore, if something were to go wrong in your life, a divorce, a creditor, if you had a catastrophic illness, if you were in a bad car accident, everything in your revocable trust is still available to be sued upon because it's under your control. However, if I were to die and my estate plan then protects my wife and my girls, now because I've died and I can no longer use the quality and nature of changing my trust because now I'm gone, my trust has now become irrevocable.
That happens at your death.
At death. Mm-hmm. And so if I were to die, now the irrevocable trust takes over, and now we can protect those that we leave behind. And that's really where we want to start, is with that basic understanding between a revocable trust during my lifetime can't protect me, an irrevocable trust after I am dead, can protect me.
That moves us then to the question, does a trust protect you during disability?
Yeah, now here is a different type of protection. So the first part of the discussion here was protection against, if I got divorced, could a walking away spouse take what I have? If I was in a car accident, could the person I harm sue me and take everything? Well, in a revocable trust, the answer is yes to both of those as a starting premise, but that's why we have insurance. Now, how then can a revocable trust protect me during a time of disability? So in other words, I'm still alive, and I just said that a trust cannot protect me. Well, I'm going to walk that back just a moment and say, but there's a different type of protection than just our money. And that protection is, have I given good information to someone else who is going to be managing my money and ensuring that they are using my money in a way that benefits me? And yes, a trust can absolutely give clear direction to a successor trustee. So in other words, if I am unable to manage my finances for a health reason, for a mental reason, or if I'm just aging and I need assistance, whatever the case may be, that's called disability in my world. And so if I were to become disabled, when I set up an instrument that has very clear, strong instructions that gives guidance to the person who is going to manage my finances during that time, then that is actually a protection to me. So let's talk about that briefly, which is, number one, it protects me because I'm actually using my voice. And this is where a majority of people who don't do estate planning are in a world of hurt, is that nobody knows what to do with your finances, so they guess. And if someone gets a hold of your finances who is not perfectly honest and begins to use it on their own needs instead of just yours, well, then that's even a double bummer. And of course, that's a very deep term of a legal term of a double bummer. So you never want to have a double bummer. So number one is that we need to do estate planning because we need to protect you as a person. You are your most valuable asset, not your bank account, not your home, not your business, you. We need to protect you first, and that must take place by doing estate planning. And so we need to have proper documentation so that if you experienced a time in your life where you were not able to assist yourself, and by the way, currently, over 75% of us who live past the age of 65. So if you're 65 or older, you have just entered into a 75% chance that at some point during your lifetime, you will need assistance from somebody else. Is your plan ready to meet that challenge? And if it's not, then today is the day. Stop it. Wasting time and sitting on your rusty dusty. It's time to put something in place because we need to protect you first. So a trust during your lifetime does protect you in this very important area, which is it gives strong instructions. And when it gives strong instructions, then your successor trustee has a higher fiduciary responsibility, and therefore it preserves your estate and it is used as you intended. So actually, yes, during your lifetime, you can receive a protection, but it's not against your creditors. It's actually using your voice and ensuring that what you have is going to be utilized in a proper way, and your desires are actually fulfilled.
You mentioned this, the scenario of being disabled and you've got a successor trustee.
Yeah.
What about the scenario where your designated trustee has passed away themselves?
And yeah.
Are there contingency plans for that built into the trust or the, how
well,
does that
a good
work?
Trust. So again, everything comes back to, who are you using to develop your estate plan? Are you doing it yourself? Well, please don't do that. This is a far more complicated issue than what people realize, so you can't do this online in most cases. Are you using an attorney that does general practice and does not focus on estate planning. Well, they may be able to get you some good template documents, but I have a concern of whether or not they'll actually go through the whole process, because maybe they don't know what they don't know. And I'm not criticizing anybody. They may be the greatest, kindest person who wants to help you, but if they have a gap in knowledge in this area, then they may not even know the proper questions to ask. So getting the right people around you to develop the right plan should actually assist in what you were talking about, Mark, which is, but what happens if the people around me or the people who I've named in my plan are no longer there? Well, a strong plan should have contingencies built in for that scenario. And then here's the other thing, is that you should find an estate planner that has a program that you update things on a regular basis, because life continues to happen. And so I'm very proud of our relationship program at Planning with Purpose. And so I encourage you, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's information there that will guide you back to our firm. There's educational opportunities coming up. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us. And we are unique. We have a unique program that actually addresses that very issue, which is, what happens if something changes in life? Well, come to our website, find out. We have full solutions to meet those challenges that most law firms do not implore. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, talking about the power of protection this week, we'll continue this discussion with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, he's looking at the power of protection, different ways that a trust, both irrevocable and revocable, can protect you, your assets, the people you love, and you're talking now about how a revocable trust protects your beneficiaries.
Yes.
And what types of protection is given to beneficiaries.
Yeah, and this is really where a lot of the power of utilizing a trust instrument comes in. Most people think that trusts are for the wealthy. And the reason we got that ideology was because back in the mid-90s, when the estate tax was down to $600,000, then a rudimentary trust was utilized that would just have tax savings clauses in them. And so we built this wrong premise of what a trust is used for, is that it's just used for taxes. Well, and as a matter of fact, unfortunately, a lot of current trust templates are still built upon that same tax chassis. In other words, it's it's designed around taxes. But I have a question for you. Do you want an estate plan designed around taxes, or do you want an estate plan designed around your family? And almost every single person would say, well, my family, of course. There are some people who have far more wealth and need to make sure that the tax structure is there. As a matter of fact, we do both. We never let the tax structure be compromised. But the real thing that I want to bring to everyone's attention is that most trusts are built for tax purposes even now, and it misses a lot of the family component. So if our family, if we're doing estate planning for family purposes and to not leave behind a mess and to make sure that there's a smooth transition, then we need to make sure that we do it right as well. And we need to find the proper attorney who's going to focus on the family issues, but also know the tax, the underlying tax needs as well. So number one is, again, I said it at the before break, I'm going to say it now, finding the right attorney is everything. So when you find that person, they should focus on your family. They should focus on your beneficiaries as what are your long-term goals. In other words, what has God spoken into your heart and what vision has he given you to protect your family? And an irrevocable trust can do that. Remember, a revocable trust does not protect assets, but an irrevocable trust does. How does it do that? Well, here's the basic premise, is that when an irrevocable trust needs to be closed, in other words, someone died, there's always work to be done when someone dies. Okay? So if you're not doing work when somebody dies, you're doing it wrong. So there's always work when someone dies. And in a good trust would then create what is known as a trust share. So in other words, we just don't write a check. That's called an outright distribution. We just don't put it into the next generation's hands. Rather, we develop a trust around their inheritance. Now, the basic premise is that that money, because it was whatever the inheritance is, that portion, that money, those assets are never put into the hands, the direct control of the beneficiary. Now, this is not a limiting factor. This is not control from the grave. This is not pulling strings. Pulling strings is that they can only get $1,000 a month and you're going to give them a spending allowance. That's a pull a string. Pulling a string is if they, you know, they can have access to this if they behave or if they marry this type of.
But you can make those kinds of trusts.
For a lot of things, you can do it. yes. If they follow Jesus, that is actually against social policy to actually put that in your trust. So we can hope that they do, and we can encourage them to do it, but we can't make it an absolute determination of whether or not they're a beneficiary. So those things are pulling strings. If they perform in school, then they get blank, or if they reach this pinnacle, then they get so much. Those are strings. Setting up a trust as a protective barrier is not a pulling a string. Mm-hmm. And so it is protective in nature. And so what happens is that because the creator has made the trust, they've written all the instructions. And the instructions say, so now create this trust and put all of my kids' inheritance in that trust. It is still being managed by those rules. And so therefore, it is never legally the beneficiary's money. So in other words, it doesn't go in their hand. It doesn't go in their social security number. It doesn't go in their checking account. Why is that important? Because if something happened where life took a left-hand turn and we didn't expect it, then if they never have that money under their name, under their social security number, then it's never theirs. It's actually still the decedent's. So who knew you could take it with you? Okay, but really, that's what we're doing. That's the power of a trust, is that we are setting up a protective container that, in essence, the money still belongs to the trust creator, even though now they're gone. And because it is still under their instruction of what can be given. And by the way, we can liberally give money to the beneficiary. So again, we don't have to put strings in there. So it can be very liberal. But because it's never the beneficiaries, then they are protected against creditors, divorces, and other things when it's created properly and when it's administrated properly.
What do you mean it's never the beneficiary? I mean, you hear this term like a trust baby or people who obviously live in high on the hog, and you're saying all the money they have and that they're utilizing in their life is protected?
Is not theirs. That's correct. And so here, look, I was doing some research on this, and I ran across a news article that Mark I think it's Mark Zuckerberg, whatever the Facebook guy is. His parents gave him a $100,000 loan to start his business venture. Now, imagine if his parents had put that money into an irrevocable trust, okay? Then all of Mark Zuckerberg's wealth, I don't know how many billions of dollars it is now, I didn't look up that, but all of his wealth would be in an irrevocable trust and it would not be exposed to estate tax. Income tax, yes, but not estate tax. And if he ever had a massive, colossal failure or liability, that money would be forever protected. And so it's a very powerful tool. Now, in some, maybe some of you are reacting and saying, that's not fair. Well, you know what? If you plan properly, then you can give your family an unfair advantage. Do you want to help your family? Do you want to protect your family? Everything within me says, I want to protect my girls. And so therefore, how do I do that? Well, I use tools like this to make sure that whatever is passed. So a trust baby is kind of synonymous with this playboy or playgirl type of mentality. They're out there just frivolously causing chaos and have unlimited funds. Mm-hmm. But what if we only have a couple $100,000 and that went into a trust? Well, that's not going to produce a frivolous life in most instances. But yet that money is the most valuable money that a person could have because it gives them the financial security that this is absolutely protected. I mean, look, if I could, if people who are listening right now, if I told you there, I have a magic wand that I'm holding right now, and all you have to do is jump up and down three times, I'll wave my magic wand, and all of your assets would have a perfect shield of protection around them. There is no creditor who could ever take your money from you. Would you jump up and down three times right now? And the answer is undeniably yes. That's what we are setting up for our family. So if you were just offended that Mark Zuckerberg's wealth could be protected, well, that's what I'm suggesting that could be done for your family. So don't be jealous of it. Then respond to it and create a plan that actually protects. And again, I'm going to go back to the whole premise today, which is God is a protector. He is our shield. And so to properly emulate who he is, we need to protect. And so so this is a wealth protection issue. But what if one of your kids took that smaller sum of money that you have in your hands? You're thinking, Paul, I really don't have all the money to do all this. But what if one of your kids or one of your grandkids is the next Mark Zuckerberg that is going to start a brilliant idea? I was just having a conversation yesterday. I love it when my girls call me and they start talking to me about, Dad, I have this business idea. 24 years old, and she's thinking outside the box. Oh, now, that's just what motivates me. Okay, that's Paul Grant. I love to talk about business and succeeding. That's just what motivates me. And so if I could actually help my daughter, and she goes, okay, this is a brilliant idea. And I go, that is brilliant. This is fantastic. I'm not going to write my daughter a check. I'm going to put it in an irrevocable trust because I know how to do this. And I know the power that if that company and if that vision succeeds, that how to protect my daughter. So this is not overly complicated stuff, but a revocable living trust, doing an estate plan, is the absolute premise of where we start. We start with doing good planning, and good planning leads to good results. Good results are that we've protected our family. And when they have the blessing of God put upon what they are doing, because God has promised that I will bless the work of your hand, then they can use that seed money to do phenomenal things. And imagine this. What if we set up something that was a vision and that was a kingdom purpose for your family, so that your kids or that your grandkids didn't have to worry about a couple extra dollars, but were released to walk in their anointing and were released to walk into ministry and build God's kingdom? How powerful would that be? So sometimes it's appropriate to put in strings. Sometimes it's appropriate to make sure that younger beneficiaries, specifically if you were going to do something for your grandkids, that indeed that there is a certain amount of money that goes out. But imagine the power that the body of Christ could create if we just did good estate planning. And I mean this honestly. It's not just because it's my field. It's because I'm actually in the Word. I look at these things from a biblical perspective of looking at God's heart about legacy, about wanting to perpetuate the next generation into action so that they can fulfill their God-given destiny. Good estate planning can do that. But if we don't do estate planning, then we can never set up our family for the next success. Last thing as we close out. The same article that I was reading about Mark Zuckerberg said that one of the greatest keys of a child's success, they followed like 500 young entrepreneurs in Israel. The ones who got help and assistance from their parents had 50% of them succeeded versus the other 50% that did not succeed had no help at all. Estate planning can set up the next generation for success. We need to protect the next generation so that we can launch them into their God-given destiny.
Okay, the power of protection and trusts and how they can maybe help you. You're intrigued by Paul's discussion today. If you'd like more information, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.